Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the last couple of weeks, we had this image of the heavens being opened. You remember? 2 weeks ago, it was Jesus' baptism. The heavens were torn open and the Spirit came down in Jesus' baptism. Last week, it was that Jesus said, you will see greater things than these. You'll see heaven opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Okay, so we talked about heaven and earth. Jesus being the connection point, bringing heaven to earth and raising us to heaven. Right, that we're seated in the heavenly places with Christ. That we've been raised with Him. We've ascended with Him. And Jesus, who has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, He's above everything. Right? Nothing has power over Him. He shares that power with us, right, by faith, as He draws us into His life. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Well, this morning we have Jesus saying, I will make you fishers of men. So I want to just start by pointing out the similarity in imagery, in a sense. Okay, so fishers of men. What's he talking about? Well, where are fish? They're down low, right? They're in the sea, which is lower than the land, right? So in terms of heaven and earth, I mean, this isn't just earth, it's death. Okay, it's under the earth. That's what the sea is. That's what the sea represents. And I think thinking about that, it's like, well, I'm used to Finding Nemo, you know, and seeing this beautiful world under the sea. And all the life and the color and the joy and, you know, but really, if you just think about our actual human experience of the sea, it's that, you know, you can go in the water, but you got to come back up pretty quick, right? Without help from technology or something like that, right? You got to come up pretty quick, and it's pretty dark down there. It's hard to open your eyes. Some can do it, you know, some aren't so brave, you know. So the sea is this mysterious place. You can't see what's under it. If you're on a ship passing over it, I'm thinking about sharks, you know. What's under there? It can make you nervous. And then if the sea, you know, if the storms come up and the water gets rough, then you're thinking, I might be in there sometime here, right? So the sea is a scary, unpredictable place. And if you go down there, well, that's death if you stay down there. Right, and then just again thinking of heaven and earth, it's the place under the earth. So if we're talking about Christ being the man from heaven and raising us up to heaven, raising up. Last week we talked about the image of a pit. Right? You're in a pit, and you can't see what's around you very well. It's dark. It's confusing. That's the spiritual experience of being separated from God. Right. Well, we've been raised up with Christ to where the air is clear and where you can see what's around you, where you have perspective, right? He gives us knowledge. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He gives us truth and life as we follow Him, as we walk this road with Him. Transfer that same kind of imagery to the sea, right? You go down into the sea, you come up. It's a pretty big difference, right? In terms of sight, in terms of life, understanding, and things like that. So that's kind of the I just want to lay that sort of imagery foundation on I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Now, okay, so if they're fishers of men, and these are the apostles who were fishers of men, and they went out and fished, and they caught us, right? So that means that we were brought from this place of death, from this place of this low place. We were brought out of death to life. Now that death that we're talking about, that place of death that we needed to be rescued from, that's our ordinary life. I mean, that's our experience in life apart from Christ. That's this world that sometimes feels like a playground. What am I going to do today? Invest in something, maybe I'll get a return, right? Spend some some time, some me time, you know, watch some Netflix, buy a house, right? Have a family, like just the regular life that every human being participates in. This is what we're talking about, being rescued from death. Now, wait a second. It doesn't feel like being under the sea. It doesn't feel like being dead. So that's the key. Well, we need to be fished out of death that we don't even see. Okay. So we're talking about two kinds of death. Right? There are two kinds of death. One kind of death comes, it becomes very vivid. It attacks us in ways that we end up feeling one day, right? And on varying levels. So every day we're aging. We're moving toward death. We are mortal. And one day, this mortal life will end for us, right? So biologically, we are not eternal. And that's going to catch up to us one day, whether we want it to or not. So this is kind of the cold, hard reality that we end up seeing. But there's another kind of death that's harder for us to see. And that's the death that happened when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the garden. Right? They turned away from God, gave up His Spirit, and decided to find life and wisdom and truth and every other good thing apart from Him. They turned to enjoy things instead of enjoying God, you could say. And by doing so, they left the source of life. Right? They left life, and they died that day. They died spiritually. That's the death that we need to be rescued from. And it's a death that's so hidden from us. It's just the water we swim in. Right? It's the air that we breathe, you could say. Or, you know, since we're fish, it's the water we swim in. We don't even notice it. Right? So last week we mentioned, Paul says, we all once were following the prince of the power of the air, the devil. Well, we didn't even know it. That's part of the problem. Jesus is fishing for people to wake them up, to show us our situation. That's what He's doing. When God kicks Adam and Eve out of the garden, out of paradise, into the wilderness, that's His goal for Adam and Eve and for all humanity after them, that they would not just continue living in a paradise physically and not recognize the desert that they live in spiritually. Right? That they wouldn't just enjoy physical life and be okay with spiritual death. That's the point of our mortality. That's why when our mortality catches up to us, well, then we're left with questions of meaning and significance. Well, all this is passing away. What should I be paying attention to? And so our minds are directed toward ultimate things. Adam and Eve are thrown out of the garden into the wilderness. You could say the Israelites are thrown out of Egypt into the wilderness. Right? They're brought out of Egypt into the wilderness. In Egypt, at least they had good food and things like that, right? Then they get to the wilderness. It's all stripped away from them. There's nothing for them. They look back to Egypt and think, well, at least we had good food and we had water. Let's go back there. In the wilderness, they're stripped of just, well, things they thought were normal, right? Things that they had become accustomed to. And stripped of that, they were forced to trust in God. They were out there for 40 years. In the wilderness. In our Old Testament reading today, we have another 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. Nineveh's living in what they thought was a Garden of Eden. It's just that it was filled with evil and violence, the king says. So Jonah comes to this city. The people don't realize the kind of death, the kind of hell they're living in, until God says, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. In other words, everything that you now have is stripped away from you. What are you going to do? And they they turn to God. They repent of their spiritual state, of their spiritual evil, because of this physical calamity that's coming on them. They're turned to what's ultimately significant. They repent, they believe God, and He has compassion on them. Jesus out in the wilderness for 40 days, He's fasting and praying. He voluntarily has everything stripped away from Him, just like Adam and Eve getting kicked out of the garden, just like the Israelites going into the wilderness, just like Nineveh going toward destruction. Jesus goes out into the wilderness where everything's stripped away from Him. He's fasting because that will strengthen Him. Right? He fasts and He prays with everything stripped away in order to depend on God and to focus on Him. And this is the little Lent preview, okay? Because Lent is 40 days long. It's 40 days, and it doesn't include Sundays, right? And it's 40 days in the wilderness with Jesus, fasting and praying. Okay? So it's like a little self-imposed wilderness, because the wilderness is our life. It is this mortal life. It's life outside of paradise. That's what the wilderness is. And Lent will be just a little, you know, we'll focus on that especially for a time. It'll be a little microcosm, you know, a little picture of the big picture of our lives. So, this is what is imposed on us by Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 in our epistle reading. He says, the present form of this world is passing away. So what are you going to focus on? So he says, this is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Right. The world will be destroyed in 40 days. Right? This world is finite, and it's coming to a close. We know that because it's been given to us to know that by heaven. Right? It's been revealed to us through Scripture, through the Word of Christ, through His apostles. So what are we going to do about it? So here's where we think about, well, how do we spend our life? Right? What do we focus on? What are our priorities? Well, how are we going to spend today or tomorrow? And why? You know the parable of the seed? Some of the seed gets thrown among the weeds, and the weeds are the cares and riches of this life. Okay, what do you care about? What do you do and why? Where do you invest your time? Where do you invest your desire or your fear? What are you wanting? What are you afraid of? What do you do and why? I think every day there's an opportunity, probably many opportunities, to repent of that, right? of our focus, of our desires and of our fears, as they become fixed on things apart from divine perspective. In Nineveh, it's full of violence and evil. Okay, so people are self-serving, right? They're why violence? Well, maybe to get things for yourself or something like that, right? So they're running around caring about themselves, and so they're hurting one another, and there's evil and such. But God says, hey, knock, knock. Right? Remember, turn toward me. Turn away from evil. So why are they doing things? Well, not in faith. Right? So why do I do things? Why do I spend the time that I do? Why do I make the choices that I do each day? Not always from divine perspective. Right? Not always in faith. And so, well, what do? Repent. Right? That's why we've come together, to repent, to confess our sins at the beginning of the service and hear God's forgiveness again, to be reoriented toward what is lasting. Right? The word of the Lord stands forever. Faith in Christ takes us through all those things that are passing away. If the world's passing away, well, Christ has come down from heaven and has bear-hugged you and taken you with him, right? Through death. So we're mortal. Well, Christ is immortal, and he shares immortality with you by faith. By faith, and in your baptism, and in the Lord's Supper, you're united to him. So you have his life, and he's taken away and consumed and made to disappear death, right? And everything that would take you down. You're not fleeting in Christ. There it is, in Christ. That's kind of been the theme of the past couple Sundays. In Christ, you will pass through death. So Christ sends his apostles to be fishers of men, to cast their nets, right? To woo you, to wake you up, to woo you, you know, pick your image, but to pull you out of this death that we don't even notice. This sort of slog through life with cares, with a purpose that misses the point. This life in the wilderness that we've grown accustomed to and we're okay with. Jesus pulls us out of it. First, he shows us that we are wilderness, that we are spiritually dead. And then, having cleared away all the plants that we've come to love, you know, all the little gardens that we're so proud of, after clearing the way so that we are just a wilderness matching reality, and he grows in us a Garden of Eden. Right? He puts paradise in us by coming and dwelling in us by his Spirit. He creates paradise. So this morning, here we are. We're in the middle of the flood, which it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Right? Here we are in the world. We've come out of the world to take refuge in the ark of the church. Right? Here we are. We've gathered together to look to God and trust in him as we walk through this wilderness together. Here we are, all the fish that Jesus has caught, you could say through his apostles, through his church, and brought into the boat. Here we are together, having been brought out of death. But there are many still who don't know Christ. I mean, we got to stick together and remind each other constantly because we can still fall out of the boat, right? But then as we do that, who do you know? Who do you know in your family, in your community, that you run into? Who do you know that doesn't realize the living hell that life is apart from God? Who do you know that don't realize that life apart from God is death? Right? Jesus says, this is life, that you know God and the one he has sent. Right? Who do you know that doesn't know true life? Who do you know that's being strangled by the cares and riches of life and doesn't know Christ? Because this world is passing away. It's going to come to an end. And in Christ, there's a continuation. Right? In Christ, there's life. He's brought us out of death and given us hope. Hope that can weather any storm, right? Hope that can handle anything, right? Clinging to Christ, we can come through all right. Some of you might know that Al Reichel went home to be with the Lord just a few days ago, but I don't know, about a week ago I got to see him in the hospital and Pastor Hesse was there. And so you can bet Pastor Hesse was doing something pretty neat, you know, if you know him. But he had a cross, and he had Al holding on to that cross. And it was just beautiful. There Al is hanging on to life, right? Hanging on to what will bring us through death. Right? Christ who took our death for us and pulls us through death to life. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.